Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Oh, Internet, it is CES week. Now, Internet, you already knew this, but boy, do we have a fun show packed for you from all the things we know from CES as of this point. It's going to roll out all week long. So this is going to be a little bit of like a kind of a chaotic week, but in a good way. And hopefully a lot of things will be announced that matter to you. And we will do our best to bring you all of that news. With that in mind, shall we do a show?
Let's do a tech show.
Let's do a tech show. All right.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. Roger, come on. I'm about to say that in 2 seconds. All right. I will count myself in 3, 2. Daily Tech News Show is made possible by you, its listeners. Thanks to all of you, including AP Puppy, Dale McKahey, Matt Zaglin, and a libertarian. On this episode of DTNS, CES kicks off, and boy, howdy, have we got the news. Buckle in, partners. It's going to be fun. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, January 8th, 2024. From Studio Animal House, I'm Sarah Lane.
From Columbus, Ohio, I'm Rob Dunwood.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
So this show is going to be a little different than our regular shows just because we have so much CES news. We're going to try to pack that in along with other news that you need to know about. So let's kick it off with the quick hits. Now, Apple is not at CES in any official capacity, yet we have 4 Apple-related stories. First, the Apple Vision Pro mixed reality headset will go on sale in the U.S. on February 2nd, with pre-orders starting January 19th. Meanwhile, Jefferies analysts estimate that iPhone sales in China fell 30% in December compared to last year, quite a drop. Apple will also pay people around $92 per claim to settle a 2020 class action lawsuit over how it managed aging batteries by slowing down the performance of older phones. Finally, Apple is appealing the EU decision regarding its App Store under the DMA, Digital Markets Act. Apple says the EU shouldn't treat Watch, iPad, and iPhone stores as one entity.
OpenAI published a letter on its official blog stating its rather unsurprising point of view in response to the New York Times lawsuit against it. OpenAI asserts that training on publicly available data is fair use of copyright works. It also noted that it believes models outputting exact copies of copyrighted works are not typical and suggests they may be cherry-picked or the result of carefully phrased prompts meant to get the model to output a copy.
Waymo announced on Monday it will begin testing its driverless passenger vehicles using its autonomous Jaguar I-Pace SUVs in Phoenix, Arizona, later this month. Waymo previously used the same roads with a human operator, so this would be the same thing, but without a human. In December, the company started offering curbside drop-off and pickup at the Phoenix airport after it also made its autonomous vehicles available in the Uber app.
EV sales rose 38% last year for Tesla and 93% for GM. That may sound odd considering the headlines about declining EV production, but while growth was positive, it was still short of expectations.
On Monday morning, a ULA Vulcan rocket launched from Florida and deployed its primary payload, the Peregrine Lunar Lander, sending it on its way for an uncrewed mission to land on the moon. About 6 hours after liftoff, Astrobotic, which developed Peregrine, announced the lander entered safe mode and did not achieve its desired sun-pointing orientation. Later, Astrobotic announced that a propulsion issue appeared to be the problem that could prevent the moon landing outright. Then, in a later update, Astrobotic announced it had discovered a critical loss of propulsion entirely. It's trying to minimize the loss, but said it had begun working on alternate missions that it might achieve. So it sounds like it's not going to get to the moon after all, at least not in this trip.
Sunday, Sean Bates found an iPhone in a bush. It had been sucked out of the cabin of Alaska Airlines Flight 1282 when part of its fuselage disappeared and has since been found. It's still working. Part of its charging cable is still attached, and it showed an email receipt for a checked bag.
All right, let's talk about some CES news that's coming out. We call these the CES quick hits this week anyway. The Wi-Fi Alliance announced it will now officially certify devices that support Wi-Fi 7. That promises better speed and efficiency over Wi-Fi 6E. That was the first to support the 6 gigahertz band. So Wi-Fi 7 routers already exist. You might even have one. But the certification adds another layer of this is going to work to your existing setup, offering double the channel bandwidth from 160 megahertz to 320 compared to the fastest devices on the Wi-Fi 5, 6, or 6E standards, and the potential for up to 2 gigabits per second speeds. Wi-Fi 7 also supports multi-link operation, or MLO, which bonds connections across 2.4 gigahertz, 5 gigahertz, and 6 gigahertz bands.
Pet-related technology is never hard to find at CES, and this year, Swiss startup Flappy is unveiling an AI-powered cat door that automatically locks if a kitty tries to bring in prey that it caught from outside.
Rob, I don't know if you have cats who do that, but cats do things like this.
What are the reasons why I don't?
Well, facial recognition is not a new thing. In fact, we're all quite used to it. But video doorbells, electronic door locks, and fingerprint readers and keypads been around for a while, but might get better with the Lockly Visage being marketed as the first electronic lock that can use facial recognition to unlock your door, making the whole process entirely hands-free. Maybe you have groceries in your hands. Maybe you have a varmint that your cat caught outside. I don't know. Keys, RFID fobs, fingerprints, and keypads also work in case you forgot your face at home, which sometimes also happens.
Thread is the standard for how Matter-compliant smart home devices can talk to each other. Matter devices can talk other ways, but Thread has lots of features that make the devices more interoperable. For Thread to work, you need a border router like an Apple TV or Google Nest Hub. Up until now, each of these created its own Thread network, so if you had more than one, you had to choose one and remember it. The Thread group is fixing that with an update that will standardize how border routers share credentials so they all play together in one big Thread mesh network. There's also a few additions coming to help troubleshooting and bringing Wi-Fi and Ethernet-connected devices into Thread networks.
Bosch is showing off eye-tracking tech for cars that's more than just making sure that your eyes are on the road, even though that's very important. It can also know what points of interest you're looking at and offer suggestions like hours of operation, nearby restaurant options, some history about a castle you saw on a hillside, et cetera, et cetera. It can also tell if you're drowsy, which is a safety issue, of course, but Bosch also showed it knowing to ask you if you'd like a coffee. For the record, my 2019 Volvo XC60 also does this.
Acer announced the Swift Go 14 and 16 laptops that can open 180 degrees, feature Intel's Meteor Lake Core Ultra CPUs, the new Copilot key, and Wi-Fi 7 starting at $750 in North America in March. Then there's the Swift X14 that has the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 4070 GPU, light sensing, and an enhanced 2.8K OLED display coming to North America in February starting at $1,400. The Vero 16 with pro-consumer recycled plastic and a touchpad made of ocean-bound glass is coming to North America in April, starting at $750, and $250 for the Acer Aspire Go 14 and 15S coming to North America in February. The Acer Aspire 3D 15 Spatial Labs Edition that uses machine models to make 2D graphics 3D, the 57-inch curved Predator Z57 monitor, and the 3D Predator Spatial Labs View 27 are all coming in Q1.
All right, Rob, what would CES be without a big old TV announcement? Remember when 80 inches was a big television? Well, TCL showed off a 115-inch mini LED TV with quantum dot technology that it says is the largest mini LED with quantum dot, part of TCL's premium QM8 line, as TCL tries to move away from just being a discount brand.
TLC also announced the NXTPA, this next paper, I think is how it's pronounced, 14
Probably.
Pro.
Probably, next paper.
Yeah, the next paper, 14 Pro, which has a button to let you switch between black and white paper and full color tablet modes. It's an e-ink style, though not actually paper. No prices, but coming to the U.S. in early 2024.
And Garmin announced the $150 HRM Fit that has a clip meant to snap on to the bottom of a sports bra so you don't have to use an uncomfortably tight chest strap. Not all of us wear sports bras, but for those who do, you know. It is compatible with Edge cycling computers and captures heart rate data as well. Garmin also announced the $250 Lily 2 hybrid analog smartwatch marketed to women. And Garmin also updated its Connect app to look more organized. All of these are available now. All right, Rob, let's talk about some chips.
Well, HP claims to have the lightest 14-inch gaming laptop in the world. The HP Omen Transcend weighs 3.5 pounds while still packing in an NVIDIA RTX 4070 GPU. That's only 0.1 pounds heavier than the 14-inch MacBook Pro. It has three requisite ports, USB-C, A, and a full-size HDMI port, and it's 2.8K OLED panel and runs on Intel's Meteor Lake processors. The HP Omen Transcend starts at $1,600 and is shipping in Q1.
Yeah, and we have HP's Omen Transcend 32, which is not only a 4K 240Hz monitor, but also has a KVM built-in and gives you picture-in-picture of each computer that is plugged in. You can even drag files from one device to another. No price or release date on this, but it sounds like HP is doing some cool stuff.
Yeah, so I'm generally on the PC side, and I'm more of a Dell person, but that's not a bad laptop. For $1,600, I mean there's a lot packed in that with a really really good graphics card. So you're going to be playing the best of the best games with this with no issues whatsoever. I would imagine on this type of PC.
I mean I don't really feel like hardcore gamers are interested in the lightest laptop in the world, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean maybe that's just because that wasn't available until now.
So I'm thinking maybe not your hardest core of hardcore gamers, but I look at this for like a college student that plays games on a gaming PC at the house, but just really can't take all that to college. This would actually work as a very good, PC to carry around school because it's so light, but also you can game on it. You can whether you're going to play with it, put a keyboard that you plug into it. So you actually have your gaming keyboard or you're playing with a controller. This is going to hold up for that. So this is kind of where I see that playing for that college student that didn't take their rig with them, but still wanted to play games in between study sessions.
All right, let's talk about what Samsung announced, Rob.
Samsung announced a feature called Light Warp for its Premier 8K and Premier 5 projectors that includes projection mapping. That means you can tap on the items in the projected image and interact with them. Samsung's examples were writing on a sticky note or playing a tabletop game. We didn't get any prior pricing or availability on these models.
Yeah, that's coming. That's coming soon. Samsung also announced the Music Frame speaker, which, like its Frame TV, if you're familiar with that, is meant to be viewed as art. So you can customize the print on the front, hang it on the wall like a picture, but it also has surround sound speakers that uses Samsung Q Symphony protocol to pair with 2024 Samsung TVs and soundbars. So this is all kind of rolling out this year. Also has two woofers, two tweeters, two mid-range drivers, plus wave guides. You can connect by Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. You do have to plug it in, so this isn't wireless, but pretty cool. We don't have a price, but it is coming this spring.
Transparent TVs are already a thing at CES. Samsung showed off what it calls the world's first transparent micro LED display next to its existing transparent OLED and LCD models. The micro LED display is brighter and doesn't need a frame. And Engadget said it was easier to see though through the glass as well. Micro LED has higher pixel density for sharper images. There is no word on when micro LED technology will come to a shipping display.
Oh, Samsung, you thought you were the only one. No, LG also, has updated its wireless TV from last year with a transparent OLED panel to make what it calls the world's first wireless transparent OLED TV, the OLED T. Inputs go into the Zero Connect box that was shown off at last year's CES. You can place away from the TV or near it. You have options. You know, that's the whole wireless part, though. Also added in a little rollable tech with a contrast screen that you can roll up or down if you don't want full transparency. Also has LG's new Alpha 11 AI processor in the mix. LG says it will make standalone, against the wall, and wall mount versions of this TV. No price, but coming sometime this year.
So I would say that Samsung and LG know what they're doing by telling you all these great things that are coming out, but not actually telling you the price, because it makes you, oh, wow, I really want that frameless speaker, but I don't know what it costs. So I want to think about it for weeks, and then they hit you with the price, and you try to rationalize it, as compared to if you get hit with the price right up front, you may immediately eliminate it from something that you might buy. Well, so they're pretty good at that, because they all this future stuff, they are not giving you the prices, which in my mind, you know, gives them the opportunity to change them depending on how the wind blows on what people are willing to spend.
Yeah, I mean, on DTNS, we try to pass along only stuff that we don't think is going to be vaporware. CES, sometimes just the vaporware goes through the cracks. Not saying that anything that we talked about is going to be that, but when you don't have a price and you don't have a release date, you kind of go like, this sounds really cool. When and where?
And how much.
And how much, exactly. And sometimes none of those things actually come to fruition. I don't know. The whole sort of like TV when you're not using it being something else, you know, for example, a picture frame, or, you know, something that you can use, you know, for work in some capacity. That has always been a promise. Well, not always. That has been a promise for, I don't know, the last few years. And I've never personally been able to make that work or figure out a use case for myself. Even though I work from home, and, you know, pretty much any monitor is always some sort of a work monitor in some capacity. But I don't know, Rob, what do you think about the idea of like having like a big old TV that's great for watching stuff, but is also something else?
I am interested by the idea of hanging a frame on the wall that looks like art, except for when I'm watching something on it.
Yeah.
So that's to me where this would work, because, you know, if you're talking about nice art, the artwork can cost a lot more than what these displays would. So 100%. That's where I see this being for something in my world, to where, okay, I'm not going to go buy that print, but I will buy this monitor that I can actually make it look like a print most of the time. And then I can also use it to watch the game if I need to.
Yeah.
So AMD announced three new 8000G series processors with integrated graphics for the desktop. The $329 8-core Ryzen 7 8700G with a Radeon 780M GPU. The $229 6-core Ryzen 5 8600G with a Radeon 760M GPU. And the $179 6-core Ryzen 5 8500G with Radeon 740M graphics. Both the 8700G and 8600G come with the Ryzen AI neural processor enabled. These processors release January 31st. AMD has also announced the Radeon RX 7600 XT, which can do 1440p gaming for $329 coming January 24th. And four new Ryzen 5000 processors based on older AM4 sockets for less than $280 coming in January, actually at the end of January on the 31st.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Roger.
I was about to say, it's very interesting that AMD released these chips now. They are essentially trying to fill out the rest of their, not catalog, but their available bottle sets in their product category, so they have something for everyone at every price point. And what's interesting is that they released new chips, the 5000 processors, for the older AM4 socket, which is an older technology that people still have, and it's pretty much of the mind of, hey, we're not forcing you to upgrade to a new socket, new motherboard, all the new RAM. You can just buy a new chip and be happy. And so they're just trying to get the entire spectrum of customers, from the high spenders down to the people who just want to spend $300 for an upgrade.
Yeah, the being able to upgrade your existing motherboard is smart on their part, because that's why a lot of folks build these high-end PCs, because they want to be able to modify them. They want to be able to, oh, here's a new card I want to get, let me upgrade it. And it kind of defeats the purpose if every time something new comes out, you have to get a new motherboard. So I actually appreciate them actually coming out with something that is going to allow you to use technology that's a little bit older, but still get that newness, that new hotness as far as the graphics cards are concerned.
And I think this is a roundabout way of placating people who've been complaining that all their AM5 socket motherboards are a lot pricier than their Intel equivalent. So they're trying to like, well, let's see how we can spread some of the pain, not the pain, but some of the generosity of the company around, and we'll give them some new chips.
Well, one of the more popular demos at CES Unveiled, that's sort of the pre-CES Sunday night event where a lot of journalists, such as ourselves, Tom Merritt included, can go and see the new hotness. One of the buzzier ones was the Belkin Stand Pro. It uses Apple's Dockit framework to connect a device to an iPhone, but you don't need an app to do so. So you put an iPhone 12 or newer in the MagSafe mount, and the base can rotate 360 degrees, tilt up and down 90 degrees, pairs with NFC, at which point any app with a camera will work with it. The dock will track you and move the iPhone so you stay in the center of the camera frame. So you can turn the tracking aid off with a button if you want. If you don't want to be tracked, just sort of depends on what you want to use it for. Also offers a 15-watt fast charging while your phone is docked. The Stand Pro sells for $180 someday. We don't exactly know when, such as CES not giving us release dates for a lot of the stuff that we would very much like to pay for. Belkin also showed off several other new products, including a 3-in-1 magnetic charging stand that supports Qi2 wireless charging for AirPods, Apple Watch, and a phone. That's $150, and a Qi2 magnetic 5,000 milliamp power bank for $40. And because we know many of you love an efficient, compact gallium nitride charger, you know who you are out there. There's also the Boost Charge Pro 4 port USB-C GaN charger, 200 watts for $130, launching in March. The 6-in-1 core GaN dock with HDMI, gigabit Ethernet, 2 USB-A and 2 USB-C ports, for $230 are available for pre-order now.
Sarah, I'm really liking that that rotating MagSafe mount.
Are you?
Yeah. I really do. I'm not an iPhone user, but if I were, this would be something that I would actually think about getting, because, you know, everybody's into content creation these days. And this is one of those things to where you can just take it, you know, something out of your pocket, put it on this, and the way it tracks you, I mean, you can do some fairly adept videos or picture taking with this. So that's what interested me most out of this read.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was on I was about to say a group Zoom call. It was FaceTime, but, you know, same idea. And, you know, somebody had a really nice, camera shot. And I was like, what are you using for your camera? And she was like, my iPhone. And I was like, oh, yeah, good idea. You know, we can't all use our iPhones as, you know, our kind of rigs in the way that I think that the Belkin Stand Pro is supposed to be used. However, if you can part with it for the amount of time that you need to use something like the Belkin, and it not be like a standalone product, like, I don't know, the Echo Show, for example, or, you know, Meta had its own Facebook, I don't even remember the name of the product now, it didn't really go anywhere. If you can use something that you already have to be able to be sort of a next-gen version of a smart camera that can be used for fun, but certainly for work. Sounds great to me.
Absolutely. Withings showed off the Beam O, which combines a thermometer, stethoscope, pulse oximeter, and EKG into a device about the size of a thick tube of toothpaste. It uses the same PPG sensors that you find in smartwatches to measure your heart rate, the ones with the green LED. It uses piezoelectric disc for the stethoscope, and it has a headphone jack so you can listen to or let your doctor listen, and perhaps a telehealth situation. It could be used for something like that. The Beam O will set you back $250. It's actually $249.95. Once it gets FDA clearance for EKG and AFib detection, which it hopes should come into sales by June of this year.
Hey, man, you know, the more we can figure out what's going on with our bodies and the stuff that we have either strapped to us all the time or part of the time, I'm into it. You know, it's funny, Rob. I wear an Apple Watch even when I sleep because I like to know, you know, my sleep tracking, even though it doesn't really make me do anything different. But I still like, you know, the data's good. But it has told me as of late that I have low, like, cardio oxygen levels. I mean, I'm pretty healthy otherwise. I run around a lot, you know, but, you know, I'm sort of like, huh, let's figure this out. You know, just, you know, it's a little metric of like, let's figure this out. Let's figure out if there's something I'm either doing wrong or something that the device is calculating, you know, in a way that is throwing me off. So the more that, especially like, you know, when you get into the AFib situation, you know, heart health, very, very important. And the more people I think that have that kind of data that they can share with their medical professional, of course, the better.
Yeah, being able to share with your medical professional is key, because a lot of times, if you go to just a regular checkup and you feel okay, you don't really, there's no reason for you to say, oh, well, I need you to check this or I need you to check that. But these actually might cue you in and say, hey, doc, I got this weird reading on my device. Can you tell me what this means? So I am a fan of that.
Yeah.
Many of us are familiar with JBL when it comes to the headphones, earbuds, and speakers, but the company is getting into the microphone business and has released three new devices aimed at creators. The Quantum Stream Talk is a $50 condenser mic with a super cardio pickup pattern, which means it picks up only what is directly in front of it. The Quantum Stream Wireless is a wearable clip-on design that you can plug directly into your smartphone and will set you back $100. And then the flagship is a $150 professional-grade Quantum Stream Studio with a three-capsule condenser mic suited for voiceover work, music, and the like.
Oh, man. I mean, our podcast studios, I mean, I know we all, you know, have sort of cobbled our own together. And I actually just, you know, upgraded my mic situation a little bit. But, man, to be able to make this as not only sort of, I don't know, almost like put in your pocket and go, but like a portable thing is really key. I know a lot of folks, you know, a lot of folks skimp on the mic stuff. And that is, any podcaster who does this for a living will tell you, you can't skimp on audio. You absolutely cannot.
And even if you're doing video, half of video is audio. So you need to sound good. And what I like about these is they're all, two of the three are USB, one plugs into your phone. So you don't need mixers and interfaces and all that kind of stuff. You really can just buy it, plug it into your PC, and you're good to go, or your Mac.
Well, I mentioned that Tom Merritt has been let loose on the floors of CES. He's there right now. He is on the ground offering up his soul. We like to say to descend on Las Vegas this week. It is CES is it. It's a lot. It is a lot to take in. It's a lot to sort of wade through the FUD and figure out what is cool, what is actually going to change our lives in the next year plus. That's what Tom's doing. You can follow his antics on the DTNS TikTok and Instagram and on YouTube as well. On Sunday night, that would be last night as of this recording, he went to CES's opening press event, CES Unveiled, caught up with Nozilla cast Allison Sheridan. Let's see what they came up with.
CES Unveiled is like a mini CES, right? It's like where they take a bunch of the vendors from the big show floor that no one could possibly walk in a day, and they give us a chance to maybe possibly walk them. You've just been walking. How tired are you?
Well, I'm tired already because I'm easily tired. It's odd how many of the booths here have people with absolutely nothing explaining what they're standing there about to tell you about.
Right, because they want to tell you.
Well, but it's like they didn't even bring a sign with the name of their... Maybe
it got caught in the Gulf.
Yeah, that's probably it. It was the storms. They couldn't bring their stuff. Yeah, but I would say two-thirds of the companies, I can't even figure out why I would walk up and talk to them.
All right. I noticed a lot of haptic hand things, a lot of headsets, a lot of health tech. What did you notice?
So I did notice a lot of people talking about things like there was an Android Wear watch that was all about mental health. Which was, that one was a little bit weird, but I got kind of a smattering. I like to go into the weird booths. Can I do a snap decision on each one? So there's a company called Wisp, W-H-I-S-P-P. It's for people who have voice loss. So maybe they've got throat cancer, and they can whisper into this app, and it comes out sounding like a real voice. And it can be your real voice if you have your real voice already recorded. Right. So that was fun. Let's see. There was a company called Slim Design, which makes a body cam. They make components for police departments for body cams. But they wanted to make their own inexpensive little wearable body cam. This thing's $69. It's a little tiny camera, and it uses the power of your phone mostly. So it's just a Bluetooth.
As the processor.
Right. So it can be really tiny and really cheap and has some proprietary way of talking to the phone. That was kind of interesting. Kahe was interesting. K-A-H-E. This was the first electric propeller and motor for a motorboat. So you could hook it up to a motorboat and it would go about an hour on like maybe a 4 or 5 person boat, but it can also be converted into a snorkeling device. So it's got handles on it and you can just go snorkeling.
So you could ride the motor?
You can ride the motor for like 3 hours. It was really cool. I told them to send me one and they're like, oh, we should talk. Okay. I was just messing with them, but they said yes. How about an electric ski? These people from, what's the company's name? Where is it? Squeel, S-K-W-H-E-E-L. They've got skis, but it's actually like kind of like rollerblades. But it's got two wheels, wheels in front and back, and you're standing on the battery itself, and the battery packs just pop out. And then you've got a little hand control that you set the speed, and you can go 50 miles an hour. Now, this guy had a thick accent, a French accent, and I said, 50 miles per hour. He said yes, and that's wrong. I should never be allowed to do that, but that you can go on sand with him. But he was talking about like being able to swish and, you know, go back and forth with your knees and really do the angles and everything, make it feel like skiing.
Wow. So that is like those old hoverboards, but on skis.
I guess so. Yeah. But your center of gravity is below the wheels, so it's not like being up on a rollerblade. How about Y-Brush? This was fun. We spend too much time brushing our teeth already. We don't have the 2 minutes that it takes. This brushes your teeth in 10 seconds on one side, 10 seconds on the other. It's a little Y thing. You stick in your mouth and you chew down on it, and then you flip it upside down and it does the other side. That 30,000 little microfibers, something like that. You can buy this today on Amazon. That's why.
So instead of moving around, it makes it efficient by just brushing.
You just chew. You just go like that. I don't have that kind of time, Tom. I don't have 2 minutes. Got to speed that up. Air Eyewear, AIRIWEAR. It is a personal air purifier. Puts out 7 liters per minute, I think it was, of purified air through UV-protected air.
Is it a mask, though, or just
it's around your neck? Okay. So it's two little things. It was not bad. It was not very heavy. I was pretty surprised. And let's see, what was the last one? Oh, the last one. Here we go, to come in the last 20 seconds. ExoBrew. Uh-huh. This is a home brewing kit. And it's a pretty big unit. Think a Keurig that's way too big for your counter. And you order the supplies. You can do it on specific things you want, or you can get kits. So they give you recipes, and you can mix and match. You can come up with your own recipes and order through them, or you can order yourself.
For beer.
Yeah, you're brewing beer.
Yeah, but you're brewing it, not just putting it out.
No. You're putting the hops in and the yeast and the whole thing. And
I mean, real beer brewers are going to hate this, but I like it.
Yeah, but no, about a home. People love home brewing, right? And he says it doesn't smell that bad and it doesn't make a big mess.
Well, then how do you know you're brewing?
Exactly, if it doesn't smell bad. But that's called Exo Brew.
Okay,
and the guy gave me a peanut butter porter. I've got it in my backpack here, but I haven't tried it yet.
I'll have to go buy it.
So that is my 5-minute assessment of everything.
That is perfect. Allison, thank you so much. Now, you are going to have interviews with a lot of these people on your own show, right?
Yes, that's right. We put them out pretty slowly. We put out like 2 or 3 a week. So it's going to be like October before this poor Exo Brew guy gets his interview up. But
this is like a whole season of NoSilicast teases right here.
Yes, this is it. This is it. And we're going to keep doing them at all the different parts of the show. So it should be fun.
Thank you so much, Allison.
Always good to be here. Everything good starts with podfeet.com, right, Tom?
Exactly. Go to podfeet.com. You'll find Allison and Steve Sheridan, who's operating the camera for me right now. Thank you to him as well.
Join the conversation in our Discord, which there's a lot of conversation right now. So you can do that by joining up over at Patreon at patreon.com/DTNS.
Oh, man, I want that kombucha brewer big time. But let's get into some of the big press announcements from CES today. We're focusing on NVIDIA. All right, so NVIDIA announced its G-Sync technology is coming to the cloud with GeForce Now soon, no official date, but soon, which will offer variable refresh rate monitors to match the streaming rate of games from NVIDIA's GeForce Now cloud gaming service. The company first supported 120 frames per second output on its RTX 3080 tier of GeForce Now back in 2021, then offered 240 frames per second on its RTX 4080 servers last year. NVIDIA's Reflex technology is behind this and has been expanded to work with 4K titles and 60 to 120 frames per second streaming modes as well.
NVIDIA also announced its supercards, the RTX 4080 Super, RTX 4070 Ti Super, and RTX 4070 Super GPUs. Upgrades over its previous GPUs. RTX 4080 Super will sell for $999 and releases January 31st. The RTX 4070 Ti Super will go for $799, releasing January 24th. And the RTX 4070 Super will sell for $599, releasing January 17th.
Getty Images and NVIDIA are partnering together to launch a generative AI by iStock. So if you ever wanted that image, that's what this is going for. iStock is Getty's stock photo service for individuals and small businesses versus Getty's enterprise service for larger users. So kind of prosumer, consumer type offerings. Just like AI by Getty Images, generative AI by iStock was trained on Getty's own library using NVIDIA's Picasso model. The service will cost $1,499 for 100 prompts, and each prompt will generate 4 images.
So we've done a lot of talking about CES, and we're going to continue to talk about CES. So patrons, stick around for the extended show, Good Day Internet, where we'll have more thoughts on all the things at CES.
Oh, man. I mean, there are so many things. We're doing our best, everybody, but we're going to be here all week. Just a reminder, we do the show live, and you can catch it live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 2100 UTC. Find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We're always on demand, but love to have you live if you can join us. We'll be back tomorrow delivering more CES news with Molly Wood joining us. Don't miss it. Talk to you soon.
The DTNS family of podcasts, helping each other understand.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Oh, what fun. What a barrel of laughs.
And there's more.
Oh, yes.
There's more.
So much
what?
More.
Oh, who Tom is Merritt? That? What
is that Tom Merritt?
I didn't know we were going to play it like the internet. Surprise.
The magic of the internet.
What do you drop in on
what
Amazon
are you
drone
here?
Or something?
Yeah. I actually just posted on our TikTok and our Instagram the walk to this little booth that I'm in here. But we actually have a view this time. I don't mean, Sarah, you remember 2020, the last time we were all here together.
There was no view.
Yeah, we didn't get the view, so we upgraded.
I mean, it was from the outside of the booth. I mean, we were kind of right smack in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was cool. But yeah, there was no kind of, yeah. beautiful hotel view. So yeah, how's the view?
It's lovely.
Looks pretty awesome from what I can see.
Yeah. A lot of forklifts. Because its show doesn't open till tomorrow. So
well, and that's the funny thing about CES is, you know, you see a lot of headlines. It's like, oh, CES opens tomorrow, but it's like, what, you know, what is everyone doing there? Yeah. Well, if you're press, you know, there are a lot of hands-on demos that are happening ahead of time, and CES Unveiled, which you went to last night, Tom, you know, where you can kind of see cool stuff that would be on the floor, but you might miss otherwise.
Yeah, because if people don't realize, CES gets bigger all the time. It's the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is bigger than it used to be. They added the West Hall now. So if you're familiar with the LVCC, it used to be the Central, the South, the Central, and the North Halls. Mm-hmm. And now if you get to the end of the North Hall, you can actually do a pedestrian walkway across Paradise Boulevard, and there's the West Hall. So it's a whole new hall there. And they take over the Venetian Convention Center. They've got a bunch of remote locations and other places. So it's ridiculously huge. So they do these little press events like CES Unveiled to give the press a chance to see a bunch of smaller companies in some cases, or even big companies like Lenovo and LG and Samsung will be there too, because they know that some folks just won't be able to get to their booth otherwise. So Sunday night is a lot of press events. There was a Showstoppers thing. There was a Tech Trends thing. And then there was CES Unveiled. Today is media day. So the media is allowed to come in and walk around on the floor and take meetings and kind of, you know, take shots of things getting set up for their coverage. And there are press conferences. So there's a ton of things happening, I think, at Mandalay Bay and other places where you will have, like NVIDIA did. Honda is doing one. Hyundai is doing one. There's, you know, all these big press conferences. And that's all to get all the news in front of the media before the show actually opens on Tuesday. And then it runs for 4 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So I hear that, you know, it's not just when you think about the show, it's one of the biggest shows on earth, and they don't measure it in square feet. They measure it by how many football fields it covers acres it covers. And there are thousands of media there, which is, you know, one of the reasons why you're there yesterday, why you're there today, able to do what you do. But you're going to be joined by about 130,000 of your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow. No, so this is a massive, massive show.
Yeah, and it's international too. You know, I'm riding in the elevator here in Mandarin. I'm sitting next to some folks in the lobby while I'm waiting for something here in Spanish. And I walked into CES Unveiled. The first thing I heard was someone like, "Oh, annyeonghaseyo," you know, talking Korean. So it's all over the world, company wise, media wise, and everything. Today being media day is actually kind of nice because it is just the media and the exhibitors. There are also the attendees, the people who show up to order parts and strike deals. And tomorrow's going to be a mess in a good way, but it's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a stark difference on the floor from today versus tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yeah. I breezed through the security line today, twice, as a matter of fact. Tomorrow, I'm going to have to make sure I get here before the show opens because I have the wristband that lets me get in here and get into this space early. Otherwise, I'll be waiting in a big, long line.
So how many steps you think you're going to get in this week?
Let's see.
Yeah, today, what do you got already, so far?
Not bad, not bad. Today, it's 1:42, and I've been sitting here for an hour. I'm at 6,021.
But okay.
I could look up and see what I did yesterday.
Let's see.
Possibly, let's see. Yeah. It might take me a minute, but yeah, it's a good 10-minute walk from my hotel because I got a close hotel. But even then, I'm going to have to go to the Digital Experience Press event this evening at the Mirage, which is, you know, take a shuttle or a taxi ride or whatever. But then if anybody hasn't been to the Las Vegas casino hotels, they drop you off at the front door, but that is nowhere near where you're going.
I mean, how many times have we all been like, even once we get to the event, to get back out to the place that we would then get a taxi to, you know, go home, go to sleep. Like, it's just sort of like, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. You want to just go here? That looks like they have food.
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. All right.
Just food. Let's get food.
Yesterday was 14,622 steps.
Yeah, you're putting in some steps.
Yep. That's a lot of walking.
That's a couple. That's a couple.
You can think of it, Tom, as sort of a cardio journey.
Yeah, yeah. I've been trying to remember to track, to call it an outdoor walk or an indoor walk. So I get a little exercise points, too.
With an Apple Watch, if you walk for 10 minutes, it'll say, are you walking?
That happened to me too. Yeah. There was one time it's like, hey, you doing an exercise?
It seems as though you're maybe on a walk.
Matter of fact,
would you like to track in? I go, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
So Tom, you helped us do the rundown for the show today, but is there anything that we did not talk about in the show that you've just, oh, wow, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, breaking news, in the last few minutes, you
got for our patrons today.
Yeah, there's so much. There's so much in here. I had some notes, but they were deleted, so I can't look at them anymore. They were in our little for consideration part. But there's a ton of stuff, and we can't even scratch the surface. Our ability to put this rundown together is our effort to say, look, we're not saying we're going to tell you everything that's got announced at CES, because that would be impossible. We're going to say these are the things that I feel like, you know, are the most likely to have been interesting to folks. So it's kind of that situation. I'm still looking to see if I can find my notes to show you all the stuff. A lot of haptic for your hands at CES unveiled. I don't know if it's too early to call it a trend, but there is a lot of stuff that's available for, you know, letting you feel things with your hands in virtual reality. CES unveiled had a ton of headsets, VR, AR. The X-Reel. That's one I could talk about. The X-Reel 2. X-Reel used to be called N-Reel. They're the smart glasses that you wear. They're more like a mixed reality glasses that you wear that look like regular glasses, but they connect to your phone, so they're not super thick like an Apple Vision Pro is going to be. But they have new ones that they're still a little thick on the side, I'm not going to lie, but from the front, they look like you're just wearing regular glasses.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, even though Apple is not at this particular event, they don't really do CES anymore. They just announced that they're releasing that that Vision Pro on the 2nd of next month. So that's a little over 3 weeks away when it's coming out. Do you see just tons of other companies who are like, okay, well, this is what Apple did, so now we need to come behind them with what we have? Is it just VR madness there?
That halo effect is definitely apparent. So the X-Reel Air 2 Ultra, 6 degrees of freedom spatial tracking, hand tracking, 52-degree field of view, 42 pixel per degree sharpness, 80-gram titanium package, $699 compared to the $3,500 of the Apple Vision Pro. They don't do as much, you know. They're not really a comparison, but they're more than the Ray-Bans, right? The Ray-Bans are the ones that that will just do audio. They just tell you things in your ear. These do have a display that you can see. So there's a lot of these out there, and I counted at least a dozen amongst the, you know, 100, 200 or so exhibitors that unveiled yesterday.
So what about this toothbrush where you don't have to brush your teeth?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. For you heard me go, no way, in the background when I was talking to Allison about that.
I mean, Allison was tongue-in-cheek being like, who's got the 2 minutes to brush your teeth? I mean, I'm like, that's silly. But then I was like, but maybe it's kind of, like, if it does it better than I do it manually, well, then I, it's not so much about saving time, it's about brushing my teeth better.
Once I caught on to the idea, which is like, it's a mouth guard, right?
Yeah.
It's a mouth guard that you put in and will then brush all your teeth simultaneously. So instead of doing, you know, 50,
the four quadrants,
30 seconds in quadrant one, 30 seconds in quadrant two, every tooth is getting brushed probably more than you would if you go one at a time, right? So it's just distributed processing, basically. You know, it's a more efficient way to do it. I'll be curious if it actually works and what the experience is like. Like, am I going to want to put this thing in? Because on the one hand, it's saving me time. On the other hand, it's a thing I've got to like stick in my entire mouth. How comfortable could that be?
I don't know.
Former football player, I used to wear, you know, the big giant, you know, mouthpieces all the time.
Oh, yeah.
If it's something like that, it's one of those things to where it's going to be uncomfortable the first few times you use it. But once you get used to it, it's just a thing that you do.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to say I'm skeptical because I don't know. I haven't seen it. You know, we heard, you know, 30 seconds about it being talked about when you and Allison were going over it. But do we really need to actually automate our brushing of our teeth?
I mean, it's not a need, but it's,
yeah,
but it's one, or like you were saying, Sarah, like if it actually is better,
it's better.
Yeah.
Did it have AI?
Of course it did.
I will say, as someone who was nagged by my dentist to go to a Sonicare toothbrush, because apparently I was so bad at manually brushing my teeth. If it does a better job and it's a low barrier to entry for, in other words, it's low cost enough, and people don't really need to, they could just stick it in their mouth and they don't have to worry about technique or anything, that would be great, because then you're actually getting your toothbrush instead of just, you know, rubbing a wet set of bristles over your teeth.
BioCal says if I can stick it in and do other things like dress, brush my hair, I could see using it. But then you will, it's only, what would she say, 15 seconds? Like that's hardly enough time to go do anything.
Don't you need to brush your teeth longer than 15 seconds, though? Typically,
but it's no, doing you, you all missed of them the whole simultaneously. Thing. It's doing them all simultaneously. So,
yeah, that's what I was saying. At first, I was like, "There's no way that works."
If you're doing it with a like old school toothbrush, you have to give yourself more than 15 seconds.
You have to do 2 minutes for all your teeth. But how much per tooth is that? Because this thing's doing all the teeth at the same time.
You have a crowded mouth. Not the, you know, like where your teeth are like bunched together, and it's not as.
Lion Jim's video says, imagine if you're a caregiver, brushing another's teeth would be so much easier. That's a good point.
That actually is a good point. That's a very good point there.
And GPEG84 points out that don't forget to brush your tongue, because bad breath comes from not brushing your tongue.
Yeah, most of it does.
It's the back of your tongue. And that, they have special scrapers. My dentist gave me one.
Tongue scrapers
Sometimes when people really want to lean into this, they say you should have a separate toothbrush for your teeth and your tongue.
You still need to floss too.
Don't forget the floss.
You need to get the back of your tongue, because that's where it stinks. It's not the front.
That's what Sarah just said.
The tongue scrapers are awesome.
There's the tongue scraper they sell in the store, and there's the cheap plastic one that your dentist or my dentist used to give me. And the one the dentist gave me was so much more effective. It, like, scraped not just the tongue, like the top of the tongue. It, like, took skin off. But it was like you would just get all this nasty stuff.
Sarah, I know you like a robot vacuum.
Indeed, I do.
Well, Roborock, new flagship robot vacuum and mop, the S8 Max V Ultra, has video calling.
Oh.
Well, of course it does, Tom.
Well, of course it does.
So not only is my house getting clean, but I can just catch up with mom at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Catch up with mom on the device you're not actually using, because it's a robot, so you don't have to do it. So that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, it includes a voice assistant for controlling the vacuum, suction power of 10,000 PA, and a camera enabling obstacle avoidance, so it does some computer vision, and video calling. So it's arguably of limited use, says The Verge.
Yeah, I mean, especially the video calling part, it's like, oh, sorry, my vacuum went into the laundry room. I don't want to go in there, so you can't see me.
You can control it remotely through the video feature with your voice, so you can do a Zoom call.
Come back.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Not you. I'm talking to the vacuum. Come back, so Tom can see me. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Not at all clunky.
I know in the for consideration we had the story about Volkswagen looking to integrate ChatGPT into its vehicles for its in-car voice assistant. And I'm wondering, is this where like the it's no longer about the infotainment, it's about like the voice assistants and how effective it is in your automobile as a defining luxury feature? Because BMW also has is you know looking into implementing gaming, streaming, AR, and AI features into its car. Although you know gaming your car seems rather haphazard.
It's for when you're parked, Roger.
Well, yeah.
It's an entertainment thing, like having Netflix with like, your coffee. Like, you're not supposed to game while you drive.
I know, but like, on the highway.
But yeah. But am I like on a stakeout, and so I got to sit there in a car?
No, like, a lot of people, not you, but a lot of people spend time in their car just sitting, waiting, having lunch, doing things, and so yeah, this is a common feature that I don't use either, Roger. I don't spend time in my car this way, but I know a lot of people who do, who are like, yeah, they just hang out in their car sometimes for an hour or something while they're waiting. For somebody or even just as a break.
I'm thinking back when I had to take my children to track practice, soccer mm-hmm. practice, band practice, more track practice, indoor track practice, you know, pole vaulting practice, all the practices that my kids did. And I would much rather sit in my car at times and just play, you know, some type of video game or something like that. So for me, that would actually be a selling feature on a vehicle if I still had kids that I was chauffeuring around to every event and, you know, thing that they're in that I just don't necessarily want to go inside and sit on bleachers
for. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And the ChatGPT stuff, I feel like, you know, it's kind of easy to dismiss this stuff as like, you know, I can already talk to a car, you know, this is just a gimmick. And it may be. But I do think, and Sarah, you pointed this out in the show, your car, your BMW already has these similar features. So it's not what they're doing.
Volvo.
It's how, I'm sorry, your Volvo. So yeah. My apologies.
Do I look like somebody who drives a Beamer?
Not at
Come
all.
Come on, Tom. Thank you.
Different countries.
Beamer people are special and wonderful in their own
they're
way.
They're different countries. Yes, yes, Roger. That's correct.
But my point is
I do have one.
That the assistants can be better about it, right? A lot of these voice assistants now, they work, but do they work well? So the idea of like, yeah, your car can tell you look sleepy. The idea with Bosch was like, they're not only going to just tell you look sleepy, but they're going to like, let me order an espresso for you and you can swing through Starbucks on the way, right? Like it'll have a lot more context and a lot more capability. And so I think that's what is happening with Volkswagen here is like, we're going to have a better in-car assistant for you because we're using ChatGPT, which is really good at this kind of stuff.
I wonder if it could get it so it could talk, like if I get pulled over for speeding, it could tell it can like talk my way out of a ticket.
No. VW does say it can only enhance the existing capabilities of VW's voice assistant. So my eyes landed on that part of this.
Officer, your
right
radar gun's malfunctioning. I'm an AI voice assistant. I know more than you.
Oh, and you'll be able to just activate the voice assistant. You don't have to do any setup. That's kind of cool with the ChatGPT and the Volkswagen.
Chat Volkswagen.
Love it.
It will work in the car. It will work on device, like in the car, unless it can't answer the query. Then it anonymously sends it to be processed.
Who's my father?
I don't know about anyone else's just sort of in-car, non sort of, you know, Siri, Alexa, et cetera, voice. My Volvo voice is just... What do you want to do?
Yeah, the voices could improve too. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's almost like they're kidding. Please repeat. You know.
No, it just needs.
I just sit in my car giggling every time.
No, there needs to be a Knight Rider package where as soon as you get in, it starts talking to you, like Kit from Knight Rider.
But like just make it sound less like. What do you want to do?
Well, that's not what Kit sounded like. He sounded like the teacher from Boy Meets
World. Well, Roger, that's the whole point, is that they could make it more Kit-like. That would, you know, in 2024, maybe be the vibe.
I would also wouldn't mind if it could keep an eye on the mechanic that's working on my car to make sure they're actually doing what they said they did.
Yeah, that's true.
I think another important one here, and we're probably going to see this trend play out a little more tonight at Digital Experience, is smart home stuff. because we got the Thread update. That's a good protocol update. There were definitely a lot of things that unveiled that had Matter compliance, Thread compliance in them. But there's an article here on The Verge about the Acara Hub M3. You may not have heard of Acara. It's probably, you know, I'm barely familiar with them myself, but they're putting out a Thread border router so you can connect to everything. And with the new Thread protocol, like if you already have a Google Home, Google Nest Hub or whatever, it should work with it. Smart plug, Home Copilot chatbot. So it's like a smart speaker, but using some generative models to be better. And then it's Matter compliant. So it'll work with all of Acara stuff, all of its Zigbee stuff, but it'll also work with Philips Hue lights and Eve smart shades. Mm. I think that's one of the interesting things about these companies that are getting ahead of it and saying, yeah, we're Matter compliant, we're Threads compliant, we've got it all packaged in by our hub. You can use it with all of your existing stuff that's Matter compliant. And then, you know, hopefully want to stay in the ecosystem and buy a few of our other things.
Yeah, it feels like Matter is becoming like Wi-Fi, to where if you just have it, you know it's pretty much going to work.
I feel like it's like Bluetooth. Bluetooth from Comdex into the kind of the rise of CES to replace Comdex at the turn of the century. Bluetooth was one of those things that had a lot of promise, but every year people would put Bluetooth in and it just wouldn't be useful. And it was kind of clunky and it dropped its connection and it wasn't that great. And people were like, hey, is it really good for anything? And of course now it's laughable. 20 years later, we're like, yeah, Bluetooth in everything.
Everything.
Like, we don't even think twice about it, but it took a while. People forget, like, it took a few years for it to really get cross compatibility and work out all the kinks.
I bought my wife is a aficionado of ice. She like just likes to chew on ice. Like, she just likes ice all the time. So
like frozen water.
Yes.
I was like,
what brand
mean?
Name is this that I'm missing? Yeah.
She loves her ice.
Ice. Yeah.
So we've got the ice maker on the refrigerator, but those are big giant ice cubes. She likes the smaller, not necessarily crushed, but real close to it, like the nuggets sized ice. So our last ice maker, we had it for a while, it went out. The new one I bought, it actually has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi built into it. It's actually on my Wi-Fi network at the house, and it's GoVee. And it's actually useful because I've got the app on my phone. You'll get notifications when it's, when it's full, or when you need to put water in it and all that kind of stuff. Things that you just never think about. It's like, okay, when you get ice, just put more water in it. That's what it used to be. But now it will tell me, hey, I need ice. One of these days I may actually hook it up to, get a nice one, one of those GE ones where you can actually hook it up to a water line or something like that. But I don't know. I'm rocking with this GoVee that actually has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi built into the ice maker, so you can use apps on your network. And because I have like GoVee lights and all that kind of stuff everywhere, it's the exact same app. And it's just, it really is useful. I thought this, like, seriously, Wi-Fi in an ice maker? But once you start using it, I don't think I'd want to go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do. I am curious if there's more useful home stuff here. I saw Kohler at Unveiled yesterday, but nothing really blew me away. There's some GE lighting stuff that I think is kind of interesting. It's called Sync, C-Y-N-C, just to confuse you. Mm-hmm. But they're HD Plus fixtures and pucks starting at $60. And it's just easy, smart lights that you can like stick under cabinets, or they have the longer ones that go like over a range and stuff like that. And then, they do all the things smart bulbs do. You can turn them on, off and on with your voice. You can change the colors. You can set scenes. So maybe you have bright lights while you're cooking, but then it dims down for when you're eating, if you have like an island that you eat at or something like that. I don't know. These seem mundane, but I feel like those are more likely to catch on with people than some of these other things we've seen in the past years.
Yeah, I think the asking people to change their routines, look at this tech thing. It's so cool, but you have to do everything differently. Those are the things where you're like, that is cool, but
Uh-huh.
What you're describing, like something as simple as my smart lights, you know, coming on when, 30 minutes after sunset, when it would be otherwise dark in my house. Like, I can't tell you how great that is. It's not a crazy thing. No. But it's a little thing that works really well.
Yeah. I think that's
so. I've got one for you. So in my great room or family room, I forget which one it is, which what it's actually technically called. We have like a wall of windows, and it faces kind of like southwest. So when the sun is high, you know, once it's about 1 o'clock, that room really starts to heat up. Just because there's so much glass in there. So we've got blinds that, you know, you can, you know, you used to have to be, you have to hit a remote, you know, on a button to turn the blinds up because, you know, it's literally a wall of glass that goes up to the, you know, top of the house. But I was able to find an app that actually figures out when the time, you know, is, you know, how basically like you gain 50 something seconds a day of daylight, you know, in the spring. Mm-hmm. So it figures out, okay, I need to shut the blinds at this time. I need to shut the blinds at this time. So earlier and earlier in the day, the blinds shut to keep the room from cooling off. And then like once the sun is, you know, past, they open back up on their own. Which is something that, like, you know, for you know, the first 20 years in the house, we never even thought about it. We just go shut the blinds. It's about to get warm in here. But now there's actually an app that I have that will do that for me based off of where the sun is going to be in my location. Those kind of things, they really do make using, you know, technologies, like, because you don't think about it. It's just something that happens. It knows when it's going to be warm. It knows when those blinds need to shut.
Yeah, you don't want the lights to turn on every day at 5 o'clock. You want the lights to turn on every day when it gets dark. Right. You know, when you need the lights. That's the difference in
That's true smart.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, smart real quickly, a few other things that are rolling in that we might even talk about some of these tomorrow. Qi2 chargers. I've seen that in everything. Qi2 chargers all over the place. So lots of like multi-chargers that do your phone, your watch, and your earbuds at the same time. So there's a ton of those here. Samsung announced its rollable displays. It's more foldable displays. This is Samsung Display, right? The part of Samsung that makes the display. So obviously they'd probably show up in Samsung products, but they might show up in other companies' products as well. So we're getting closer and closer to the roll-up display. The technology is called Rollable Flex, and it's the kind of thing that, you know, we'll see what it ends up being used for. But they're showing it off in a couple of prototypes here, and then a lot of cooking tech. So the one that caught everybody's eye and unveiled yesterday was the Monument from Home Depot, $650, claims to be able to cook a steak in 90 seconds because it's optimized the layout of the oven, and it uses some sensors to be able to tell where the heat needs to be applied and control the heat.
It's kind of fun.
Chicken breast in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Seagrill says that it uses quad-core processor and smart sensors to measure aspects of the food and the environment, including the thickness of the food you put in, the temperature in the air at different pockets, and so it can precisely cook your stuff for you. I mean, if you want it done medium rare, if you want it done medium well, it's going to take longer.
And also, why? Just why?
And if you want it done well done, then just order something else.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know what? Go back to manual, okay? You filthy animal. No, I'm just kidding.
Jeez. all right. Yeah. I mean, the news just keeps on rolling in, of course. And I'm going to head out to Digital Experience. So if you are following our TikTok, following our Instagram, look for stuff there. We'll be bringing Molly Wood on the show tomorrow to talk about some of the stuff that she's been experiencing here as well. So it's nonstop fun gadget action, as always.
Good times. Well, thanks for dropping in and letting us know, you know, how CES is going so far. Tom, wanted to take a quick moment to thank a couple patrons who gave us raises. Andy and Jill both gave us raises on Patreon. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Jill. We appreciate each and every one of you patrons. Thank you so much. And with that, I think we're going to bid you adieu until tomorrow. So until tomorrow, good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Roger, good day.
Just thinking about that steak.